If you are grateful for the faithfulness of God, the same God that created gravity, right? The same God whose law of gravity never, ever failed. You guys remember that time when gravity failed? Remember that? Remember that time when we all just floated up because there was no gravity? Remember that? No, because it never happened, right? It's real, right? It always works. And the God who authored that is just as faithful, if not more. And if you are thankful for a faithful God who never, ever fails, I want you to give him a shout this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, we just glorify you. We thank you for these precious moments in your presence, Lord, when we're just remembering, Lord, how good you are. And sometimes we get anxious, like something bad's going to happen, and then we get into your house. And we remember that you're a faithful, faithful God, and you've never failed. Lord, thank you for your goodness. We give you our cares. We give you our concerns, our money problems, our family problems, all the circumstances, Lord, the broken things in our life. We trust you today, Lord, and we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good, and you can be seated. Thank you, worship team. Wonderful. Yeah, remember that time when God failed? Remember that? Remember that? Oh, it never happened? That's right. That's right. So what are we worried about? Amen. Tell somebody next to you he's faithful. Before I get into the message, I want to mention that this Wednesday I'll have the privilege of speaking at our Racial Reconciliation Forum, which will be taking place in the cafe. We've had, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen of these, and they've been timely conversations, really interesting conversations about getting along across gender lines, across ethnic lines, across economic lines, and really understanding another person's point of view. It's a healthy conversation, and I've been asked to speak on the subject of reconciliation, which is something I feel so strong about. So I'll be talking about what reconciliation is. Reconciliation is a bridging of a relationship where there are grievances and how to fix things. And that's actually very much in line with what I'm sharing this morning. So I'm excited to get into that. I was looking earlier today for Bethany Valderrama. Is Bethany here in this service? No? Is she? Oh, Bethany, come here, sweetie. Come here, Bethany. I want everyone to hear how it went in Rwanda. Come here. Bethany was in Rwanda. Come here, come here, come here, come here. Surprise! First of all, she's an awesome woman of God, and she helps. So what took you to Rwanda, and when did you get back, and what happened?
Oh, man. So, yeah, we knew a couple a long time ago, and they had moved to Rwanda in 2006. And since then, they have set up a shelter for kids. They have set up a school. Farming, fishery,
wow.
Just completely transforming the community and kids' lives there, providing education. So I had the opportunity to go with a team of seven.
Wow.
And went there a couple of weeks ago and just helping with whatever. We had no idea what to expect, but helping with whatever. And so I did.
How long were you there?
I was there for 40 days.
40 days in
yeah,
Rwanda. Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. We are proud of you.
Thank you.
And thank you for your leadership and the great example you always set. Now you're back to school, or what are you doing now?
Yeah, so soon I start school in
All right.
August.
Let's tell Bethany we think she's great and awesome. Thank you, sweetie. We love you. We love your family. Welcome home. I love to see people reaching out with a heart for nations, and we love the whole Valderrama clan over there and special people. All right, you ready for the Word of God? Take your teaching outline and come on, come with me. Let's talk together today about getting closer. We've been in a conversation over the last few weeks about our relationship with God and our relationships with each other. The two really go along together. You know, the cross that we have right up here on the platform is a common emblem of our faith. And in the cross, there are two dimensions of the cross. There's the horizontal dimension, which is kind of reminds me of relationships back and forth between human beings. But then there's the vertical dimension, which is our relationship with God. And it's amazing what happens when you get right with God. It affects your relationships with others. It's a package deal. And so we're talking about getting closer to God, our Creator, getting to know the God of the Bible, and serving Him and knowing who He is and following Him. But also having better relationships in our marriages, between generations, between people groups, people that think differently and believe differently, coming together a little bit closer. And today, I want to talk to you about the awesome power of agreement. Everyone say agreement. I heard about an anniversary celebration of an older couple. They were celebrating their 60th anniversary, and there was a big party, and the kids threw it for them, and you know, there was songs and there was dancing. And then toward the end, you know, it came time to toast the couple. And somebody shouted from the back, "Speech, speech, tell us the secret of a 60-year marriage." Well, they looked at each other and the husband decided to speak up. He said, "Well, I could say a lot of things about 60 years of marriage and our secrets to success. But," he said, "I'll just tell you one thing." He said, 60 years ago, this woman and I came into an agreement. And he said, "We made an agreement, and that is that has kept us together like nothing else over these 60 years." He said, "What's the agreement?" The agreement was that we would always talk about whatever decisions we're about to make. And then at the end of our conversation, once we were done talking about it, if it was a major decision, after we were done talking about it, if it was a major decision, that I would make all the major decisions. That's just a discussion that we've always had. If it was a major decision, I would make it. And then if it was a minor decision, then my wife would make the decision. And he said, "You know, funny thing. In all those conversations, not one of those decisions turned out to be a major decision. All the decisions that we've ever made in our whole married life were minor decisions." So there's a couple. There's a couple that's discovered maybe a secret about getting along together. If you haven't tried it, don't knock it. Well, the Bible seriously says so much about agreement and its awesome power in our lives that I wanted to bring it into this discussion because agreement has the power to bring us closer. Now, the Bible says a lot about it in Amos chapter 3, for example. The ancient prophet posed this poignant question: can two walk together unless they are agreed? And that's a special word. Circle that word "agreed" in your notes because it's a special, interesting word that actually means to arrive. Can two walk together unless, in essence, they have agreed to arrive at the same place or destination? So one thing I want to mention from the very beginning about agreement is that agreement is not mystical. It's not something that kind of drops down on you like a purple fog from heaven or something, and you enter into some kind of agreement. Agreement is something that you take steps toward. Agreement is something that you arrive at the end of a journey. Coming into agreement in your marriage or coming into agreement with a friend, a business partner, a ministry partner, coming to a place of agreement is a process. It's a journey that we take together, and we arrive at it as we take intentional steps. And so today I want us to understand what a blessing it is and how many benefits there are when we take intentional steps in our relationships to become closer. What is agreement? Agreement is a mutually beneficial arrangement. Now, I want to say from the very beginning that it's important to understand that it is not vital for two people to see the same thing the same way. It's not important for two people to act exactly the same or to have the same personality. That isn't what brings you into agreement. Agreement is an attitude of your heart. And it's an attitude that arranges a possible benefit for both. It creates a win-win scenario. So, for example, our country for the last 220 or 230 years has made agreements with other countries, countries like Russia, countries like China. We're trying to make an agreement with a country as different as North Korea right now. That's a very different country, right? So the culture is different, the language is different, the mindset is different, the values are different, and yet it is possible for two different countries who have big differences to find things that they can agree on so that both countries will find some benefit. And that's what I'm getting at in this issue of finding agreement. To agree does not mean to have the same opinion. To agree does not mean to have the same perspective or the same values on every single issue. Actually, our relationships are strengthened when we see things differently. You know, for example, Kathy and I, we don't always see eye to eye. We have different styles. We have different ways of looking at things. We're in our 38th year of marriage, which is a total blessing. She's an amazing woman that, I mean, whatever I am would not be possible without a harmonious relationship with my wife. But that doesn't mean we always agree. We have different styles. We have different opinions. But we find a way to work beyond our differences to a supernatural place of agreement. And so what happens is there's win-win. There's harmony. There's blessings on both sides. If you're looking for more benefits in your relationships, in your partnerships, your friendships, or whatever, focus on the areas of agreement. Don't focus on disagreement, because our differences are not the key issue. Our differences have the power to divide us if we allow them, but it's common ground that actually brings us together. And here's what I want to say to us today. Agreement has the awesome power, the incredible power, to bring very different people, very different parties, very different ideas together in a win-win situation. Now, the Bible is filled, as I said, with information about agreement and the power of it. For example, Jesus brought it up when he, in Matthew chapter 18, was talking about prayer. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus said, in fact, can we read this out loud together? This is so powerful. The words of Jesus. He said, "Again, I say to you that if two of you," what? "Agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father." Do you get the impression that Jesus is incentivizing unity? What he's saying is, if I can get you guys together in agreement, I'll jump into that and I will co-sign anything you come up with. My Father in heaven. So he's saying, I'm trying to get people to come together. And we talk about agreement. This is actually suggestive of a prayer of agreement. So that's actually a form of intercession, which is very, very powerful. When we pray for the same thing, we agree what we're believing God for this or that, and we come into agreement and say, well, I could just pray for that by myself. But Jesus says, if you get somebody and agree with them in prayer, there's power in that. I'm going to actually continue this conversation next Sunday. I'm going to talk next Sunday about how you can find agreement with almost anyone. We're going to walk through that. So this is going to be a fun two-part conversation. But one of the things I'm going to talk about next Sunday is this new thing that's kind of moving through some of our life groups, where we are praying a prayer of agreement. We call it a prayer of three, where we're praying for lost people. So I would write down three people, my neighbor, my aunt, and my friend at work, my coworker at work. None of them know the Lord. And each time I get together with my life group, we would pray together for all the people that are on our list, called the prayer of three. You say, well, why don't we just pray for the lost by ourselves? Because something happens when we come into agreement. Now, if I'm in a group with four people or five people or six people, let's say six times three, that'd be 18 people that don't know Jesus, that we'd be saying, Lord, every time we gather, we're going to pray for these 18 people. We're just agreeing as a group, standing on your word, believing that they're all going to be saved. And you know what I believe is going to happen? People are going to get saved. They're going to start. God's going to answer that prayer. Whatever it is, Jesus is saying, if you come together in a spirit of agreement, something powerful will happen. That's the prayer of agreement. And I don't know if you guys have ever done maybe a home project using epoxy glue or epoxy injectors, but you know, epoxy is a very powerful glue, but it contains the epoxy resin itself, and then there's some, I think it's an accelerant in the other tube. So you push it down, it's like two shots next to each other. At the very last minute, just as you're gluing something together, those two ingredients blend together. And that accelerant and the epoxy itself, suddenly that glue becomes super, super strong. It's the same idea when we pray. Something happens when we mingle our faith together. So I get husband faith and wife faith and father faith and son faith and friend faith and brother faith and sister faith. And we mix it all together and something is released that Jesus said is super powerful. That's the prayer of agreement. And again, that doesn't mean rigid uniformity. That doesn't mean that we all think the same or act the same or believe every detail exactly the same. But it means we're coming together and we're on the same page. The word agree in this verse, again, I say to you that if two of you agree, it's an interesting word also. It's a Greek word, symphoneo. Does that sound like a word that you've heard before, symphoneo? Doesn't that sound like symphony? Yeah, it's exactly. It means to come together in a sound. Now, if you think about a symphony, it's the beautiful thing about a symphony is its diversity. The beautiful thing about a symphony is there's an oboe and there's a trombone and there's a violin and there's a clarinet and you have all these different, some are wind instruments and some are string instruments and some are percussion instruments, but they all come together. And when the conductor is there and everybody's following the same conductor, they're in a supernatural, almost a supernatural synergy of agreement. And all those different sounds come together in one sound to create beauty. And I think what Jesus wants to do in your marriage, in your life, in your world, which may sound very strange to you right now, you may be hearing things you don't want to hear, and you're experiencing life in a very painful way. And what Jesus would like to do is to become the conductor and bring all of it together. In other words, it's not important that an oboe become a clarinet. They're supposed to be different. So in a beautiful kind of diversity, in a beautiful way where we get along, it's kind of like this. You do you, and I'll do me. And if we do it together, following Jesus, we're going to be closer. How many understand the idea? So what we don't want to do is buy into a false premise that says, if you think differently or you believe differently or if you have a different personality than I have, then I can't have anything to do with you. I'm just going to edit you out of my life. I'm going to draw a circle and you're not going to be in my circle. The truth is God wants us to be closer because something powerful is released when diversity and when blend and when unity all come together, it becomes a supernatural thing. What is a marriage anyway? I mean, men couldn't be more different than women, could they? They're very different. But if you get those differences right, you create an amazing thing and God starts multiplying and he releases his power and things reproduce and family is built and love grows and it multiplies and it didn't involve anybody giving up who they were. It just allowed everybody to be who they were, but because they came together on the same page, something powerful happened. So I'm going to say this, and I hope you'll receive it in the spirit it's intended. Our differences are not the issue. Our agreement is always the issue. When it comes to relationship, when it comes to getting along, you've got a choice about what you're going to focus on. You've got a choice whether you're going to focus on what you object to in your friend, your wife, your neighbor, what makes them different and dangerous and weird, or you can focus on what you have in common. It feels to me, I could be wrong, but it feels to me like the real popular approach today is to focus on our differences. Like we are all about calling each other out on differences and challenging each other, and And the more we do that, the more polarized we become. The more we focus on what's different about other people, the less closeness we have. I don't want to preach a series called Further. I'm not looking for further. I'm looking for closer. So if I'm gonna be closer to someone of a different gender, someone of a different generation, a different ethnicity, I can't be singling out what's different and weird about them and preoccupied about that. I've got to look for what we have in common. You know, it's amazing. I've been all over the world, maybe 28, 30 countries around the world, and I've learned how to find things in common with people that don't speak my language and don't have, they wouldn't understand the kind of a home I live in or the car I drive, or they wouldn't know much about my church. You would think we were from opposite worlds, like two different worlds. But it's amazing what can happen if you sit down and talk to somebody and say, "Do you have any children?" "Oh, yes, I have 4 kids." And suddenly, boom. You've just found something, because every parent knows certain things about every other parent. It's a universal sameness. There's something that we have in common. Same with marriage, same with grandparents. Now I'm a grandparent. I just love to add, "Do you have any grandchildren?" And that same smile comes on their face. They could be from the other side of the country, from another country. "You got grandchildren?" Boom! We just found common ground. Something that we have in common, and that's what draws us closer. Does anybody understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So in this hour, I think it's very important that we stop concentrating on what's different and start concentrating on what we have in common. And if we can do that, we can experience the supernatural power of agreement. The early church had this. Now watch this. Can I read to you a couple of verses real quickly from the book of Acts? We always like to look at the book of Acts because that's the pattern. That's the model. We're all believing that we can live out our faith the way the early Christians did, right? And here's how they did it. In Acts chapter 2, it says, "On the day of Pentecost, when that day had come, they were all in one accord in one place." You see the agreement there? And then did something good happen? Sure, because that was when the power of God was poured out on those disciples that were in the upper room. The Holy Spirit came, was poured out, and the church was born in Acts chapter 2. They were in symphony. Now we know that in that room, there were men, there were women, there were older people, there were younger people, there were Greeks, there were Jews. They were just people that loved Jesus. They didn't look a lot like each other, but somehow they found one accord. And it's like Jesus jumped into that and said, "This is where my power begins." But it continued in Acts chapter 4, and there's many other verses like this. I'll just give you two. But it says in Acts chapter 4 that the early Christians had one heart and one soul. What does that even look like? I would love to experience that. One heart and one soul, and no one was thinking about the things that belonged to them themselves, but they had everything in common, and with great power, maybe as a consequence of that oneness, maybe because they were in one accord, one heart, one soul, with great power, the apostles were given their testimony, and great grace was upon them all. I think this is a time where I believe God would like to do so many more miracles. He'd like to pour out His Spirit so, so powerfully. But I think, and we're all thinking, "Lord, come on, what are you waiting for?" And I think sometimes God's on the edge of heaven going, "What are you guys waiting for? Get together. Get together." Well, but He's old. He's young. I mean, what do I have in common? Get together. And watch what'll happen when we come as one symphony and really start to move in the power of one accord. Imagine what life would be like if we had great power and great grace being poured upon us all the time. Answers to prayer, my goodness, the power of the Holy Spirit, people getting set free, people with mental illness being healed, people with broken hearts being restored, marriages coming together, miracle reconciliations of friendships and broken marriages and family feuds and all kinds of things where people are mad dog at each other and mad. And suddenly here comes the power of grace just melting our hearts together because we're in one accord. Imagine that. Let me just make this statement. In every relationship, the place of agreement is the place of power. The place of agreement is the place where Jesus said, I'll show up there. The place of power is not the place of, by God, this is my principle and I will die by it. You might die alone. We're going to talk next week about how to get along with anybody, almost anybody. Because it's not important that we see things exactly the same way. What's important is that we align ourselves relationally and work out the agreement so that we can move forward together. Right now, people are so strong in their positions. They're so strong in their philosophies, in their opinions. And my, there are so many opinions. So many opinions. And the fight, if you're following it, the fight is always about an opinion. It's never about the thing we all value and the thing we hold in common. So I'm giving you a secret here for your marriage and for your friendships and for living in a diverse world. Don't focus on the differences. Focus on what you have in common. And learn to see it through the eyes of the other person. In every relationship, the place of agreement is the place of power. So why are you settling for 10% power when you could have 100% power? Let me ask you this. If you have a marriage, for example, or let's say a business partnership. Let's say in a business partnership at work or a work group at the place you work, let's say that you have 10% of things that you agree on with the company and with your supervisor. There's 10% that you would see the same way and that you would say, okay, I agree with that, but 90% disagreement. How effective would that partnership be? Are you looking for a miracle of provision in that kind of an environment? If you want to see prosperity, if you want to see your business really make it, create agreement. Come back to, let's talk about sports. Shall we? What if we had a baseball team, all right? And they agreed with 50% of what the management and what the team values were and other. Let's say they had 50% buy-in. Do you think they're going to win the championship that way? How much difference would it make if they all had 100% agreement? We are going to do this. We are going to nail this. You're old, you're young, you're male, you're female, you're black, you're white, you're Latino, you're Asian, but we are together, like we agree on this, and we're going to do this. How many think that would be powerful? And it's exactly the same thing in the church. The power of agreement to bring us closer to each other. 100% agreement means 100% power is possible. Now, as far as I can tell, coming back to the cross, all right, the vertical piece, the horizontal piece, there are two moments where we could experience God's supernatural power. And I want to give you those two moments. The first moment would be when we come into agreement with God. Let's start with the vertical axis of the cross. Let's talk about your relationship with God. How are you and God doing? Job 22, verse 21 says, agree with God. Agree with God and be at peace with him, then good will come to you. It's amazing to me how many people are not well and fine with God. Even Christians. When they talk to God, it's like they want to say, I have a problem with you. You didn't answer my prayer. I had a problem with the way you're running the world. I don't like what you're doing in my... I mean, they're beefing with God, which, you know, I'm glad to be honest with, but to be honestly wrong isn't so smart. I mean, honest is good, all right? Authentic is good, but authentically dumb is still dumb. You wouldn't want to cross God. You wouldn't want to challenge or question or drag your feet or resist or dig in your heels. Well, I know your word says it, but I've got a problem with it. It's just not working for me, and I don't like it, and I don't want to do it. You can't experience God. But then when you get stuck, Lord, I need a miracle in my marriage. Or, Lord, rent is due. Can you come through? Oh, I thought we had problems, God is saying. I thought you didn't like my ways. I thought you didn't like... Now you like me. Today you like me. The rent is due, you like me. Come on, this is just real talk. People can get offended with God. They can get out of sorts with God. They can be alienated from God in ways that they don't realize. And God wants us to be at peace with Him. It says, agree with God and be at peace with Him. That's the word shalom. That means everything's coming together beautiful. It's amazing how different people are experiencing life differently. Some people, every day is a train wreck. It's disaster after disaster, problem after problem. And then there's other people, it feels like they're just flowing. Could the difference be in that arrangement we have with God, where we're kind of moving together with God instead of resisting Him? To agree with God means to harmonize our ways and our thoughts with His. Now, since God isn't going to change, even if I pout, even if I cry and whine, get mad and pitch a fit, God isn't going to change. God is God all by Himself. And His ways are, since He isn't going to change, if we're going to get along, guess who's going to have to adjust? Me, right? So that means I'm going to have to change my attitude, change my ways, reposition my thinking so that I can live in agreement with God. How would I do that? Three things that we need to do to live a life of agreement with God. Just jot these down. First, you got to confess your sins and failures. Now, confession is really powerful. If you grew up in a Catholic environment, I'm not talking about going to the priest and confessing. I'm talking about confessing to God. Talking to God and confessing. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess, everyone say confess. Circle that word, I'll come back to it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That word confess is a very interesting word in the Greek. It means to say the same thing as God. It means to agree. So it looks like this. Lord, I was very cocky today in that conversation. I was prideful. Lord, I want to confess that I came on way too strong. I was so full of pride in that conversation. I wasn't giving an inch. And Lord, I want to agree with You because Your word says that You hate a proud look. That pride is one of the things that You hate. And Lord, I'm not asking You to change Your opinion. I'm saying I was wrong. I confess that, Lord. I agree with You, God. Pride is a sin. Would You forgive me, Lord? And would You help me fix my relationship with my spouse or my friend or whatever it is? How many see how that works? Confession is not, it's not just admitting that you did it. Confession is agreeing with God. God's word says that lust is wrong. It says pride is wrong. It says stealing is wrong. And so, but it's amazing how many people have a problem with the opinion, direction, policy, law, standard, rule, or position of God. We don't like His positions, so we're hoping that He can change or that if we ignore Him, He'll leave us alone. But that's not being in agreement with God. Agreement with God says, God, this is what You say about marriage. This is what You say about my lifestyle. This is what You say about my choices. This is what You say about the words that come out of my mouth. And I'm going to agree with You, God. And I humble myself, and I'm going to make the change, and I ask You to forgive me. That's real confession. And that sets you up for living a life of agreement with God. The other thing that works really well is when we change the way we think. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 18. He said, the truth is you must change your thinking and become like little children. If you don't do this, you will never enter into God's kingdom. Now, when it says change your thinking, some of the older translations have that word that we don't hear too much in the church anymore, which is the word repent. Jesus said, unless you repent. Everyone say repent. Another version says, unless you convert or unless you be converted. But the whole idea of repentance, the whole idea of conversion is what? Not changing what you fill out on a form where it says religion or denomination. That's not conversion. Conversion is changing the way you think. So you're changing your mind and you're saying, okay, I'm going to live a different way on a different set of rules. I'm going to play from God's rule book. I'm going to change the way I think. Changing how you think absolutely changes your life, and it will change your relationships. And it will change your relationship with God. Again, don't think God is going to change. Don't think you can outlast him or be stubborn with him and get him to budge. God isn't budging. So if it's going to get better, you've got to adjust your thinking and come into alignment with him. That means attitudes, morals, laws, standards, the difference between right and wrong, priorities, all of that has to come from God. Methods, how I get from A to B, it's got to be God's way. How I do marriage, how I do my career, it's got to be God's way. And you can't be there. You can't be there overnight. And he's not looking for you and I to be perfect. I'm really glad for that. He's going to give us the time that we need to gradually change our minds and walk with him. Remember, we said in the beginning, it's a journey. And so we start taking intentional steps toward God and toward the people that we love, and we come into a place of agreement. So we confess our sins, we change the way we think, and then we come into covenant. Now, let me say this. Are you in covenant with God? Because God is a God of covenants. What's a covenant? It's an agreement. Yeah. Yeah. You've heard of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant? That's an agreement. You've heard of the New Covenant? The New Testament? What is it? It's a pact. It's an agreement. And the new covenant that we have with God goes like this. The new covenant is the agreement or the promise that God makes with us that he will forgive our sins and restore us to right standing with him. When our hearts receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we turn toward God, he restores right standing with us. The old covenant was, if we live perfectly under the law, if we do everything that the law says, then God will accept us. That didn't work. So Jesus came and introduced a new law, a new commandment, and a new covenant. On the night before he died, he was with his disciples in that same upper room. And he had communion. We're going to have a beautiful communion service next Sunday, right? Because we're going to remember what Jesus described as the new covenant, which is sealed with his blood. How did we get into a new covenant with God, whereby our sins would be forgiven and we could be secure in our relationship with him, apart from our perfection? We got into that because of Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection paved the way for us to have a brand new relationship with God through faith. Now, here's my question to you. Are you in covenant with God? If you are, why are you worried? Why are you fearful? Why are you thinking, well, I know I said some stuff I shouldn't have said. Maybe I lost my salvation. Well, I know I had a thought. I shouldn't have had that thought. Maybe I've lost my salvation. Why are you worried about that? If you have an agreement with God, you have a contract with God. When we get in financial trouble, and we've had those days, I always come back to, Lord, I'm in covenant with you. I'm tithing, I'm honoring you, and I'm believing that you're going to hold up your end of the agreement, Lord. I'm not going to sweat this because I have a relationship with you. If I mess up in my mind or if I say the wrong thing, I don't have to go through 6 months of wondering, does God love me? Are he and I okay? No, I'm real sorry for my sin. I repent. I get that straightened out, but I never doubt the arrangement that I have with God. I have an agreement with God. How many of you have that agreement? See, and if you don't have it, before you leave today, you can have it just by simply inviting Christ into your heart. You're coming into covenant with God, and you're entering into an arrangement that will carry you through the worst days of your life. Come into covenant with God through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to close by giving you the second part of this. I was a little too enthusiastic in how much I wanted to cover here today, but there's always another Sunday. So what are you doing next Sunday? What are you doing? Oh, you'll be here. Good. Awesome. Great idea. So come back, and we'll talk more about this issue of the other time we can experience God's power is when we are in relationship with each other, when we agree with each other, when we agree with God, and when we agree with each other. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, which is a very offensive verse. You want a preview? How many would like to see a controversial verse? One that it couldn't possibly be in the Bible. Is this verse in the Bible? Look at it. Jesus said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be what? Fix the relationship. Fix it. Doesn't mean change your position, change your conviction, change what you believe. It just means fix the relationship. Be reconciled to your brother. It didn't say stop doing you. It just means come back to the relationship, come back to the connection. Be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And then he says this. This bothers me. What does it say? Read it with me. Agree with your what? What? And don't just agree with your adversary. Agree with them quickly. While you're on the way with him. Remember the journey? We're walking. Agree with him so you can keep walking together. Lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. I'm going to leave you hanging right there with the word prison. No, what is he saying? What is he saying? He's saying some fights aren't worth it. You're going to take this to the Supreme Court? You're going to fight this all the way? You might lose. He's saying be sensible. Because there's too many fights, too many people pressing their point. Instead, when it comes to a difference, fix the relationship, back off of the thing that's driving you apart, because you don't want to pay the price of a broken relationship. That's what he's saying. Words have consequences, and it feels like in our day and age, we're so committed to our position that we're willing to lose our relationships. And what Jesus is saying is, here's the law. The law is love. The law is connect. The law is come together and be a symphony. Continue being who you are, but reposition yourself and don't work so hard at the lawsuit. Work hard at the relationship. How many understand what I'm saying? All right. There's two times we can experience God's power. When we're in agreement with him, and when we're in agreement with our wife, our husband, our friend, our parent, and we keep that relationship and we keep that harmony and we march forward for the best days of our life together. That's what we need to understand. This is what brings us closer. Your lawsuit will not bring you closer. Your fight will not bring you closer. Your opinion will not bring you closer. You chasing me into the parking lot and saying, but I don't believe what you're saying, that won't get us closer. What'll get us closer is to agree on what we do believe. You love Jesus, I love Jesus, let's all be happy. Amen. How many understand what I'm saying? So let me ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. We're out of time, and I'm just going to pray for marriages here today. I'm going to pray for friendships. I'm going to pray for the supernatural power of God's agreement to flood back into our life. And Lord, I just thank you for the words that we've heard today. I thank you, Jesus, for teaching us how to be close to God, to stop resisting him and his ways and his word and his counsel. Lord, help us to line up. Lord, forgive us for our sins. We agree with your way. We agree with your word. We want to align ourselves with you. You're the conductor, Lord. Teach us to be who we were created to be, even next to our neighbor who's maybe created differently. Help us to be symphonic in our relationships, Lord. Let the sweetness, let the beauty come back to our marriages. Let the sweetness and beauty come back to our friendships, Lord. And break this demonic power, Lord, this dividing people. Give us love. Give us agreement in Jesus' name. Just heads bowed, eyes closed. Briefly, just a moment here. I was mentioning about relationship with God, covenant with God. And I wonder if there's somebody here today that's got some questions about that. You're bothered because you realize maybe in the first scenario you might be thinking, I didn't know I could have a relationship with God. I didn't know he loved me. I didn't know how to be close. I've never opened my life to God. If that's you, I want to pray for you. The other scenario might be that you're away from God. You used to have a covenant with him. You were walking in agreement with him, but you've let your part of the covenant down, which is to follow him, to trust him, to believe in him, to love him. And in that case, you can fix it by just rededicating your life to Christ. If there's anybody here, just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, or one of those two scenarios is what you're living right now. You're away from God, and you just need him in your life. Would you just let me pray for you? Just slip up your hand right where you are and just say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to get right with God. Just God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Just wherever you are. I don't want to be off. I want to be on with God. There's a fifth hand. Is there somebody else? Just say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm away from God. I want to fix it today. I got to know that I'm right with God. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. Six or seven hands in the first service, six or seven hands in this service. The most important thing we do, I mean, we do a lot of important things as a church, but nothing is more important than making sure people come to faith in Jesus Christ and know that their sins are forgiven and that they're right with God. So, Father, I pray for these that have raised their hands. I'm asking you to drop your power down on them like never before. Lord, let today be a brand new beginning for them. As they say this prayer, Lord, let your power be released in them big time. Let them walk out of this room knowing today that they are right with you. In Jesus' name. Everybody just look up at me. I'm going to put this prayer. We've got a prayer up on the screen. If you raise your hand or if you're breathing today, I want you to say this prayer with me. All right, this is a good prayer for all of us. And let's just say it as our kind of our comeback, our give back to God at the end of this message. Here we go. Let's all pray out loud. Father God, thank you for teaching me to come closer to you and your people through the awesome power of agreement. Everyone, Lord, I confess that too often I've sinned and made my relationships worse. Thank you for loving me, forgiving me, and teaching me to walk in the power of agreement with you and with others. Through Christ I pray. Amen. Those of you that didn't raise your hand, would you send a signal to the ones that did? Let them know. That was a really brilliant decision that they made. Awesome. How exciting to know that you're right with God. And you just received that by faith. We're going to receive the offering and the ushers are going to serve you. Here's what I would ask you to do if you raised your hand or if you're new in the church and you haven't done so yet, drop that card you heard about earlier in the service. I'm new here or I've decided. Fill that out. Let us know the decision that you've made today because this is one for the records. I mean, this is one for the books. Drop it in the offering and thank you for your giving. Just let's enjoy a little Holy Spirit time as we close the service. I'll come back and we'll have a closing prayer. God bless you. Thank you. And I just want to pray, and if you're with somebody in your family or a friend, you want to just grab their hand. I think husbands should take the hand of their wives for sure if you're in the same room here. And I'm going to pray for miracles on every relationship. Maybe you're not with somebody here that you know, but just know this: God knows you and He loves you and He's with you. And I'm believing for every relationship. Kathy and I are believing for every relationship in your life to go to a whole new level starting today. Will you receive that? So, Father, I speak a blessing over all your people. Kathy and I are in agreement, Lord, this morning, that you will save and heal and revolutionize, Lord, every relationship in our congregation in five cities, Lord, that you will pour out your mighty Holy Spirit and your greatest blessings. Lord, let your peace and your righteousness and your joy rest on every person. And I praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. We love you. And hey, by the way, if you need prayer, our prayer teams are here at the front. And if you're new in the church, Kathy and I are on our way to room 203. We'd love to meet you, say hello to you. Just have a 5-minute reception there for you, just to shake your hands and build friendship with you. God bless you. You're dismissed. I'll see you in the newcomers reception.